Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Two people were killed in a head-on vehicle collision on the Richardson Highway outside Valdez. Valdez Police and Fire report that 69-year-old Sandy Silvera and a 13-year-old girl were in an SUV that was hit by a Copper Valley Electric Association work truck near Mile 17 Friday afternoon. Silvera and her passenger were transported to the hospital in Valdez, where Silvera was declared dead and the girl died later. The truck's driver was not hurt in the crash. The cause of the accident is under investigation, and police ask that any witnesses contact the department. A pile of junk vehicles in line for scrap at the Fairbanks North Star Borough landfill burned yesterday morning, sending up clouds of thick black smoke south of the city. A post by the Fairbanks Firefighters Union says 40 of about 100 vehicles lined up for scrap caught fire and burned yesterday. Fire trucks, water tenders, and heavy equipment were deployed in the effort to bring the blaze under control Sunday morning. The Fairbanks North Star Borough has opened a sealed bid auction for 13 parcels of public land. The borough is required to release some of its state-granted land for sale every 2 years. And as KUAC's Robin reports, the assembly approved the sale at its Thursday meeting, but not before pulling 4 parcels out of the offering.
The process to select, survey, prepare, and list borough land for sale is not a short one. It starts with nominations from citizens or borough staff on what chunks of land they think should move from the municipality to the private sector. Then there are months of public notices, open house events, and publication of descriptions and maps of each parcel to be considered. By the time the 17 parcels selected for this year's land sale got to the borough assembly last week, citizens had worked to formalize and dedicate a well-used trail on one parcel, and petitioned the assembly to hold 3 more tracts out as open space. Borough land manager Sandra Mota said the land office received many comments about trails on the parcels.
It's a given that there are informal trails on basically every acre the borough owns. In fact, borough-owned land is open to casual recreational use by the public. So by selling an acre of land, you are always going to take a bite out of somebody's extended backyard.
A part of the Cranberry Trail crosses a parcel off of Pandora Road in the Goldstream Valley. Frank Keim has lived near the parcel for decades. He had worked with the land office to have the trail surveyed and dedicated as a public right-of-way before it was transferred to private hands. But he asked the assembly if the borough could do more to preserve the woods there.
Think about the future. Think about this. You know, in 50 years, the huge number of people who are going to be out there. That's why I wish that you could set it aside.
On the other side of Fairbanks, 3 tracts of land near Petey and Brock Roads in North Pole have received months of community attention. Neighbors in the area created a website and an email chain to campaign for keeping the land in public control. They submitted a written petition to the assembly asking if the large 167-acre parcel by Petey Road be pulled out of the sale. Mayor Bryce Ward responded by changing the ordinance to retain the Petey parcel as green space. Jamie Hansen serves on the Trails Advisory Commission. She commented that the other 2 North Pole area tracts near Brock Road should be retained as well.
There's a large informal network of trails, and there are recommendations around having recreational area and green space, especially given the expansion of personnel at the Eielson Air Force Base.
After the staff presentation and public comments, the Pandora Drive parcel and all 3 Petey and Brock Road parcels were pulled from the sale. Land manager Sandra Mota says information about each parcel that is in the sale and how to bid on them is available in person or on the phone from the land office or online at fnsblandsales.com.
Folks can send in their bids online. They can come to the counter. They can mail in their bids.
The land auction will close on October 14th. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
University of Alaska regents have eased their stance on a plan to transition the system from separately accredited universities in Fairbanks, Anchorage, and Juneau to a single statewide institution. After hearing abundant public testimony opposed to the idea prior to and during meetings Thursday and Friday in Anchorage, a UA release says the board voted to clarify its restructure focus to include looking at both single and multiple accreditation options. The board also voted to authorize UA President Jim Johnson to set up teams to review 8 academic and 5 other program areas for streamlining and/or discontinuation. Regents heard results of a survey of 3,900 stakeholders, including disagreement on the 3 or 1 accreditation issue, which regents have to get a report to state legislators on in December. A group of soldiers from Uzbekistan trained with U.S. troops at the Army's Northern Warfare Training Center at Black Rapids last month. As KUAC's Tim Ellis reports, the two-way training was intended to enable the soldiers to exchange ideas about military mountaineering and to help build relations with the Central Asian nation.
A dozen or so U.S. and Uzbekistani soldiers gather at the base of a 50-foot rock face at the Northern Warfare Training Center, donning their protective gear in preparation for a few hours of instruction on advanced rappelling techniques. Staff Sergeant Nathan Barrett is one of the U.S. trainers.
Here I have a couple lockers, a couple large locking pairs, non-lockers. I have some cordelette here.
They began their training August 26th at Black Rapids, located in the eastern reach of the Alaska Range about 40 miles south of Fort Greeley. Their interpreter, Jahangir Haitov, says the six soldiers he was translating for appreciated the chance to come here for some military mountaineering training with the Americans.
This is our first visit to Alaska, and we are so grateful to the leadership of Fort Wayne Worth for inviting us.
Master Sergeant Mario Colon accompanied the Uzbekistanis. Colon is assigned to the Army component of the U.S. Central Command headquartered at Shaw Air Force Base in South Carolina. He says the training's intended to benefit both the Uzbekistanis and the Americans.
It's totally two ways. So as they learn from us, there might be some stuff that we also learn from them.
Because they're advanced mountaineers, where they come from, and we're advanced mountaineers.
Barrett says they've already picked up some pointers from the Uzbekistanis.
They showed us a couple techniques that they would use in the event of a combat scenario to be able to still utilize their weapon. Something I never even thought about.
That something was the Uzbek's technique of fashioning a sling out of a rope or strap that's worn by four soldiers as they're moving an injured fellow soldier on a stretcher. The setup allows the troops doing the rescue to have both hands free to use a weapon or other equipment as needed.
They brought it up and they showed us, and it was amazing that the system that they developed is perfect. Very simple.
A few minutes later, the soldiers practiced that technique and others after hiking to the top of the hill where Staff Sergeant Ryan Retzner, a senior instructor, was lecturing and Haitov was interpreting.
They have an arm injury and they can't rappel, or maybe they have lost their ATC.
Система паук хороша, когда кто-то повредил руку, он не может.
Haitov says the U.S. military's been working with Uzbekistan for about 20 years, and a U.S. Army Alaska spokesperson says the Uzbeks were invited to train at Black Rapids because the United States considers Uzbekistan a friendly nation. The Uzbeks certainly seemed friendly, judging by the laughter that erupted from them from time to time, like when one of them asked Retzner if he could stop midway down a rock face for a coffee break. Or a few minutes later, when one of the Uzbeks pretended to be afraid as he was about to begin rappelling.
Help me!
After a while, it didn't seem to matter much that the visiting soldiers were speaking in a different language. Both they and the Americans were joking and laughing, sometimes with the interpreters, sometimes without, as they all waited for their turn to rappel. They seemed to be communicating amongst themselves somehow, maybe in a sort of common language that's known by soldiers everywhere. At the Northern Warfare Training Center at Black Rapids, I'm Tim Ellis.
And I'm Dan Bross.